boy or girl, I don't know where I'd be without you.
Come on and clap your hands. Hallelujah. Hey, we say you are awesome.
You are awesome. You are awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
You are awesome.
None other like you.
You are awesome.
No one compares.
You are awesome.
You are. Only in the house of God.
Hallelujah.
No more chains.
Hallelujah.
No more bondage.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. I am free.
Hallelujah.
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 No more chains.
Hallelujah.
No more disease.
Hallelujah.
I am free.
Hallelujah.
No more.
Hallelujah.
No more.
Hallelujah.
No more.
Hallelujah.
No more. Come on, listen. No more.
No more chains, no more bondage, I am free.
No more, no more, no more.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free.
No more, no more, no more.
No more.
You gotta shake it up.
Hallelujah.
You gotta shake it up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I am free.
Hallelujah.
No more disease. No more pain.
Hallelujah.
No more heartache.
Hallelujah.
No more breaking.
Hallelujah.
No more disease.
Hallelujah.
No more chains. I am free. Come on.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Give me a break. Come on. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Come on.
Hallelujah.
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 I am free.
Hallelujah.
No more disease.
Hallelujah.
No more bondage.
Hallelujah.
No more chains.
Hallelujah.
No more sickness.
Hallelujah.
No more depression.
Hallelujah.
No more chains.
Hallelujah.
No more heartache.
Hallelujah.
Ancestral curse. Broken.
Hallelujah.
No more.
Hallelujah.
No more.
Hallelujah.
No more chains.
Hallelujah.
No more disease.
Hallelujah.
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 Come on and say
freedom.
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 Whoa.
Freedom.
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 If you want it this morning.
Freedom.
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 One more time, say freedom. Freedom this morning, just worship this great God even in this moment.
Hallelujah.
Bible says whom the sun sets free is free indeed.
Hallelujah.
Give you all the praises, give you all the glory this morning.
Hallelujah.
We receive our freedom. The thing that's been holding us down since January, in the spiritual, in the physical, we receive the freedom in your name. The song says no more bondage, no more chains, I am free. I decree it this morning, I proclaim it this morning. Blessed be your name, mighty God. Hallelujah.
sure. I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand my soul. My soul, Lord, to you surrender all.
just think about the goodness of God this very moment. And this next 30 seconds, just focus on this great God and Him alone. The Bible says, where two or more are gathered in His presence, He is there. So we have an understanding that God is here today, this very moment. Heavenly Father, we worship You.
Please be seated. God bless you. Where's Benga? Oridupa. Today is Benga's birthday. Happy birthday to you. The Lord will give you many more years of active service in Christ Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Today, I want to talk to us on something that I've simply titled, I See the Lord. I see the Lord. Can somebody say that with me? I see the Lord. May you see the Lord in his full glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we're going to take our text from Isaiah chapter 6, 1 to 8. Many of us already know the text. Verse 1, it reads, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Verse 4, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In the name of Jesus. Friends, it's a blessing for our lives when things go well for us. It's a blessing in our lives when everything is running on all cylinders. The husband is faithful, the wife is grateful, the children are acting well. Everything is working fine. It's a blessed life. At least that is what we will call it. And when people around us are happy with us, they're as happy as we are, we're in the company of friends and family that are doing well as we are doing well, then we say life is good. And truly, life is good. Amen? The American economy had been through the mills in the recent time. But we see things getting better. The Dow Jones industrial average spiked, although he suffered some injury this past week. But it's been going up. Amen? The index of unemployment is going down. It's showing that there is improvement in the economy. The life of people are getting better. When things are getting better, it is not too far-fetched to say life is good. Yes? To say we are blessed. We are blessed people. Our prayers are answered. We have good jobs. We're having promotion. Life is moving along as we have intended or planned for life to move along. But friends, when life begins to go along in this manner, the danger for many people is they begin to lose sight of God. I say today, the sermon title is, I See the Lord. I think it really should have been a question. Do you see the Lord? Or do you see your labor? Do you see your hard work? Do you see your success? Do you see what you have produced and the prosperity that you have come into? Is that what you see, or you see the Lord? Do you see the Lord really? The scripture, the verse 1, says something very, very important that if you are somebody like myself, you will ask the same question that I ask. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. The question I asked myself automatically is, who exactly is King Uzziah? Why is it so significant that the prophet of God, who had been prophesying to the people, this is chapter 6 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, he was prophesying. Isaiah chapter 2, he was prophesying. Chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. Where did all of this come from? Was he just running on empty, or what exactly was he going through? But he himself said, in the year that King Uzziah died was when I finally saw the Lord. I want us to look at who King Uzziah is very quickly, and then we will come back to our text. King Uzziah, you can really liken somewhat, not completely, not a whole lot, but somewhat, you can liken King Uzziah to President John Kennedy. King Uzziah, when he became king, he was only 16 years old. I believe to date, Kennedy is still the youngest person to become the president of the United States of America. Huh? Youngest ever elected to his office, the office of the presidency. Youngest to leave by assassination. He was president for only 2 years and 9 months. But I saw this from, I believe it's called worldbook.com or something like that. He said, forever, he changed our perception about our lives and our world. You will remember it was President Kennedy that said, don't ask what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And people still say it till today. His were the days of Camelot, that idealized dream of peace and prosperity. Camelot is, anyway, you can look that up on your own. That's not where we're going. As during that 2 years, 9 months, the United States enjoyed its greatest prosperity. Blacks made greater progress in their quest for equal rights than at any time since the Civil War. At least as at the time this was written. President Kennedy had such a tremendous impact. Those that were here at the time will know about him. I was not here. We are just reading about him. I'm sure Brother Moses probably can confirm some of this for us. Amen? But history don't lie, at least when it's properly written. And it's not that far back that it can lie. Praise the Lord. King Uzziah, when he became king in Judah, he brought prosperity to the land. In fact, it was so strong militarily that territories that had been lost by other kings, he rebuilt. As a matter of fact, when King Uzziah became king, Israel was in a bad shape. His father had been forcefully removed and killed for him to take over. Judah was in disarray. The wall was broken down. The enemy was mesmerizing them. And this young man became the king. And through his reign, he reigned for 52 years. A very long time. From a tender age of 16, he continued as king for 52 years. For 52 years. And during his time, the nation enjoyed such prosperity. The nation grew, expanded beyond leaps and bound. In verse 2 of 1 Chronicles, verse 2, he built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his father. Eloth had been taken over by the Assyrians. And Eloth was the key city that brought about the prosperity of Solomon. But when Uzziah became king, he conquered Eloth. He took it back. Not only Eloth, as we read further down, he went to the Philistines' territory. He took the land back from them. He really grew the kingdom. He grew the kingdom. He built an army of over 300,000 men. And he was a force to reckon with. He was a man that loved the people and the people loved him. Very powerful man. Very strong man. In fact, the Bible says that, let's read it. Let's continue to read. Let's back up a little bit. Let's read from verse 6. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and break down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. Listen to this. And God helped him. Somebody say God helped him. God helped him. Why did God help this young man? Listen to me. At the time he became king, because of his age, he was still subject to tutelage. He had the high priest, Zechariah, at the time, that tutored him and mentored him. And for as long as he gave himself to the word of the Lord, he prospered. As you read further down, the scripture says exactly that. He said, for as long as he walked in the ways of the Lord prospered him. It doesn't matter the enemy that came up against him, God gave him victory. May the Lord give you victory. In the mighty name of Jesus. But God will not work with a filthy vessel. Can somebody say that? I don't want to give us false hope. This guy, for the most part of his reign, he walked with the Lord and the Lord helped him. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Goba and the Mehunims. Verse 8. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. Nations began to pay tributes to him. You know why they were afraid of him. They knew if he came against them, he was going to take over their land. So they began to give gifts to him. And his name spread abroad unto the entering in of Egypt. For he strengthened himself, somebody say exceedingly. Exceedingly. May the Lord strengthen you exceedingly. In the name of Jesus. Verse 9. He said, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem. You know, today, when you hear about towers, it means absolutely nothing to us. You think it's just you put blocks together, you built a tower. In his time, this was an engineering feat. For them to be able to build such high towers so that he can see enemies far off before they came near to him. He built towers at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning in of the wall and fortified them. Verse 10. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in the Carmel, for he loved husband. This guy was absolutely successful. Absolutely successful. Next verse, please. Moreover, Uzziah had a fighting host. That's his army. Go to verse 13, and then we'll take it from 13. He said, and under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against his enemy. Not only did God help him, God gave him men that stood by him. These were not traitors. These were not people that betrayed trust. These were people that stood by him and they ensured the victory of the king. He said, God and the men that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. 14. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields, and spears, and helmets, and havergeons, and bows, and slings to cast stones. Next. And he made, listen to this, he made in Jerusalem engines. You see, I was watching a documentary not too long ago, maybe like 2-3 weeks ago. It was talking about the history of wars, the history of war, you know. And they were talking about how weaponry developed until the point that they had the ding gun, you know, cock and shoot. And now we have real machine gun, ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga. And then we have missiles that can travel thousands of miles now, you know. So initially, with weapon development, it was to have a weapon that at close range you can kill your enemy quickly. And then after a while, they decided that, you know, if they get that close, sometimes you might not be lucky to be able to kill them before they kill. So let's develop weapons that we can shoot over distances. What this guy did was simply ingenious. The Bible says he had men that invented engines that they were using to catapult arrows, spears, and stones, and everything. He was a very mighty man. Very mighty man. He said to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad. Listen to this. For he was marvelously helped. Who wants this kind of help? As you have lifted up your hand, the Lord will marvelously help you. The Lord will send help to you. You will have marvelous help all around. In the mighty name of Jesus. This guy was strong. This guy, you couldn't stand against him. He was powerful. And because of his power and might, the prophet forgot his position. Because of his conquest, because he was such a strong king, powerful, influential king, the prophet couldn't speak to him anymore. The prophet felt compromised. That how can I say any word against a great man like this? Friends, the question I have for us today is, who is the Uzziah in your life? For the prophet, Uzziah had sit upon the throne of his heart, and he couldn't see God. You see, the throne of your heart is only good for either God or yourself or any other thing you put there. God will not share the throne of your heart with anything or anyone. The throne of the heart of the prophet had been compromised. And therefore, he couldn't see the Lord. Friends, we're going to look in a little bit at what we see when we see the Lord and what the prophet missed all the years that he was afraid to speak his mind concerning this king. He couldn't say, "Thus saith the Lord." And God left him alone. The question I have for us today is, are you just a believer just playing the game of Christianity, or do you know the Lord? Do you see the Lord? Or are you playing the Christian game when they call, how many people are born again? It's a census. It means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely, completely, totally nothing. Because what determines what it means to us is our manner of life, is not our manner of speech. It's not our manner of response. It's not what you say to the question that determines who you are, but what quality of life I live and you live. Amen? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Friends, as long as there's a Uzziah on the throne of your heart, I'm not cursing you. It's impossible to see the Lord. As long as your heart is not fully, completely sold out to him, you will not see the Lord. You will play games. You will attend programs. There will be a revival somewhere you will go. There will be a celebration somewhere you will go, but talking about seeing the Lord, you will not see him. The prophet paraded himself as a prophet, but had no contact with God. God only spoke to him. He couldn't see him. There are a few people in Scripture that saw the Lord, and we know the consequence of seeing the Lord. Paul saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. His life never remained the same again. Moses, he pleaded with God. He pleaded with God, and God showed him his backside. When he came back from seeing the Lord and he appeared to the people, the Bible says his face was so radiant that the people couldn't look at him. Transformed completely. Friends, if you see the Lord, it will reflect in your life. Everyone that sees you will have seen the Lord. You know, I say this to the glory of God, no, nothing to boast or prop myself up or anything like that. I went to a store. Well, I used to go to the store. I go to the store quite often. Twix. The Nutri Bar, that thing. The crunchy Nutri Bar. That thing. Yeah, I used to like that thing. I loved it. So I will always drive to this gas station to go get it. You know, so I just go, I grab the thing, and no shame with coffee. I just grab it, I go eat it, you know, and I'm okay. So one day I went in there, and the lady, you know, every time I went, she looked at me funny, and I'm like, the devil is a liar. You know? I don't know if I had lost, I don't know if my wife had lost my wedding ring at the time, you know, but she was looking at me funny anyway. So this particular day, she finally said something to me. She said, "Sir, can I say something to you? Can I ask you a question? Or can I tell you something?" She said. I said, "Yeah, go ahead." She said, "You know, there's something about you. Every time you walk in, there's a glow. There's a glow about you. There's a glow about you." I said, "Well, praise the Lord." If you know anything about me, I hate you focusing attention on me. You know, so I just quickly paid and I bounced. You know, I said, "Glory be to Jesus." I just bounced. Friends, it will reflect in your life if you spend time with him. If you see him. This prophet, though prophet, until King Uzziah died, he could not see God. He could not see him. We have been talking about knowing God for about 2 months now. When you know God and you want to see him, he will reveal himself to you. I've told us time and time again. And every time I go back to study and pray, one thing I keep hearing is that God is not lost. God is not missing. God is not playing hide and seek with us. He wants to be known by us, and he wants to reveal himself to us. Many of us, when it's time to pray at home, in church, or anywhere else, we bring tired bodies. As we are praying, we are falling asleep. And you are wondering what the last prayer point was. Father, in the name, Friends, these are serious matters. If the prophet could not see the Lord, if the prophet could not see God, and he was sitting in, and Isaiah, I hope you know, is referred to as a major prophet. But he couldn't see the Lord. You know why? Something else had occupied his heart. Does God have all of you, or he has a little bit of you? For some of us, Uzziah is your pastor. For some of us, Uzziah is a preacher man somewhere. For some of us, Uzziah is our spouse. For some of us, Uzziah is our wealth. For some of us, Uzziah is our children. Whatever is Uzziah on the throne of your heart, you need to relieve them of that position. Somebody say amen. I know it's not the amen, hallelujah type of message, but I'm speaking the truth to us this morning. I'm going to round up quickly because I want us to pray. The Bible says, when he saw the Lord, in verse 1, say, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and a train filled the temple. Listen to this very quickly. I want you to know, listen to me real good. It doesn't matter how dear that thing that is Uzziah, that represents Uzziah in your life. It doesn't matter how significantly powerful you think they are or influential in your life. They are not God. And because they are not God, they have an expiration date on them. For the prophet, he was the king. Uzziah is not God. He was a great man, but he's not God. In fact, to show his fallibility, when he became very strong, the Bible says he became prideful. He became prideful and he went to the temple and began to burn incense. And the priest came to him and said, O king, this is not your job. It's not your responsibility. He said, I'm the king. I do whatever I like. He became leprous immediately. That's to show you his humanity. Strong, powerful, influential, destroyed, conquered nations, and all of these things, the best of men is what? Is still a man. The best of men is still what? A man. The best of man is still a man. He died. He expired. I forgot who was telling us, sharing a testimony. I think it was Dr. Bode. Somebody that was going to help you get a job, and then before the thing happened, the man died. The man is the head, the top boss man. If he tells you are hired, you're hired. He said, I'm going to hire you. He went home relaxed. Uncle has promised. Uncle. For that brief moment, Uncle was King Uzziah. He died. But God had to allow that to happen so that the plan of God can be worked out for him. When God takes out your Uzziah, it's because he loves you. My God. He has a plan for you. You may be weeping over it. You may be crying over it. You may be troubled about it. You may be all of that and much more. But understand that God loves you. God loves you. Because if he leaves Uzziah there, destiny will not be fulfilled. Destiny will not be fulfilled. Isaiah could not amount to what God has called him to do because Uzziah was on the throne. Look at the majestic splendor that he had missed. He saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and lifted up. His train, the train that he's talking about is his robe. He filled the whole temple. Above it, he saw seraphims, angels flying back and forth, to and fro. And they are saying one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts. Holy is the Lord. Friends, our God is holy and he will not lower his standard for anybody, not even you. The way we carry on today is like God will change the standard for us. He said, nobody can deal with these things. This is too hard. It's too this. The word of God is the word of God, regardless of generation. Regardless of the generation we live in. He saw the Lord in all of his glory. He saw the Lord, verse 3. The Bible says, and one cried unto another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. The earth is full of his splendor. The earth is full of his dominion. The earth is full of his glory. Friends, that word glory there is the word, Hebrew word kabod. Kabod. It's the same word that was used when you see the Lord and you see his glory, there's a transference is about to happen to you. Listen to this. The same word that is translated glory in this instance is the same word that was used in Genesis chapter 31 and verse 1 when the Bible says the cousins of Jacob, they were looking at him and they were jealous. They were not happy with him. And they were saying to themselves, of our father has he gotten all of this glory. You know the glory they were referring to? His cattle, his sheep, and everything that God has blessed him with in their father's house. When their father was busy changing his wage. That glory, that word glory, is translated weight. But that word glory can also be translated wealth. So what you are looking for, what you are seeking, what you are praying and stomping all over about, all it requires is that you see the Lord. When you see the Lord, it gives you access. It gives you access. The Lord wants to open his good treasures unto you, but we are too far from him. We are too far from him. We are living our life and we expect him to meet us where we are. But he has shown us the way. He has shown us the way. What we need to do is to go and meet him where he has chosen for us. Praise the Lord. When Isaiah saw the Lord, guess what his response was? He said, woe is me. Woe is me. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 6. No, 5. He said, then said I, woe is me. The reason people are not sorrowful or repentant about the lifestyle they have is because they have not seen the Lord. Because when you see the Lord, he convicts you of who you are. When you see the Lord, it will reflect your image to you. You will see yourself exactly as you are. When Paul saw Jesus, what did he do? What would you have me do, Lord? He surrendered. He saw himself for who he really was. If you are still fighting and struggling with the Lord, it's because you don't know who he is. You have not seen him at all. You have not seen him at all. He said, woe is me. I am undone. This is the prophet that has been prophesying to people, telling them about their evil ways and their wickedness. He's been telling everybody else the evil they have done. Now he's saying, woe is me. Woe is me because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Why? For mine eyes, today, right now, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. His response was one of repentance when he saw the Lord. When you see the Lord, it reflects, it shows you who you are. The only thing you can do is to submit and surrender yourself at his feet in repentance. What was God's response to him? Verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. Verse 7. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Friends, anyone that comes to the Lord will not turn away. Oh, no. He will not. He loved you and I so much. All the sacrifices couldn't do it. All the prophets couldn't do it. He came himself and he died for us. He came himself and he gave his life for us. Why? Because you mean that much more to him. Isaiah's response was, Lord, I am dirty. I'm dirty. I need help. And God did not reject him. God sent an angel, took a coal, and cleansed him. And cleansed him. Friends, what would your response be today as the Lord is speaking to us? What would your response be? You see, when Isaiah responded very properly to God, the response of God was beyond commensurate. He cleansed him. He purged him. But guess what? The last verse, or the seventh verse. Okay, eighth verse. Also, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here I am, send me." The third thing I want you to see there, number one, is his response. Number two is God's response to him. Number three is after his repentance and cleansing, he had to reapply for his position. Because right there in his presence, God put an ad out for his position. And it was left for him to reapply. Friends, I believe many of us, we need to, first of all, stop praying, stop everything, and just reevaluate. The series that we're doing on Tuesday Bible study, Crazy Love, the first chapter, I said, stop praying. Stop praying. Stop praying. That's our first study. Stop praying. Because a lot of people will, you know, prayer of shout is good. Oh, Father, Father, Father. Hey, everybody's shouting, everybody's excited, everybody's jumping. I say, it was very hot. The prayer was hot. Everybody's jumping. But many things hidden under the hot prayer. Many things hidden. There was a prayer meeting I led some time ago. Not here, back home in Nigeria. When I got there that day, of course, I had my litany of prayer, how we're going to do gymnastics and just pray and shout and jump and everybody will be happy. But the Lord said no. So once I got there, I said, "The Lord, this is what the Lord is leading me to do." So everybody, just right here, right there where you are, just stay there. If you want to kneel, kneel down. If you want to sit, sit down. If you want to stand, stand. But it's a quiet prayer. You and God duke it out. I don't want any noise. There was a young lady in her corner. She was just weeping. She was just weeping. She was just weeping. So at the end of the prayer meeting, you know, I just said, so I pulled everybody back together, and I prayed over them, and we dismissed. So I called this young lady. I said, "What happened? You were crying." I said, "Yes." Guess what? No, 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 no. She had just left her boyfriend, fornication, and came to prayer meeting. So, all the hot prayer, she would have just been hiding behind everybody. Ah, Father, 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 ah, Father, 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 Father. But all I was doing was just prompting them, you know, gently I was prompting them, gently I was prompting them. She said every word was just piercing her heart, piercing her heart. Piercing her heart. Piercing her heart. He had to reapply for his job. God put him to the test. Say, do you want it back? Right in his presence, an announcement was made for his position. It's like God said, who will be pastor in Salvation Center? Who shall we send to be pastor? That's exactly what happened. Friends, I want us to bow our hearts this afternoon. Do you see the Lord? Or do you see activity? Do you see events? Do you see shows? Do you see gymnastics? Or do you see the Lord? Very important question we must ask ourselves. There's a song that says, "I see the Lord, I see the Lord, exalted high above the heavens, and the beauty of the earth. I see the Lord. Friends, do you see the Lord? Do you see the Lord? Do you see the Lord? I want you to rise to your feet. And I want you to talk to the Lord this morning or this afternoon, as the case may be. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Isaiah was not a sinner. He was not your regular sinner that you will say, oh, this is a fornicator, this is an adulterer. But he had something in the place of God in his life. What do you have in the place of God in your life? For some people, don't be surprised, it might be a car. They love that car more than anything else. For some people, it's their home. They love that home more than anything else. The Lord is calling us to repentance this afternoon. The Lord is calling us to repentance. A broken and a contrite spirit, it will not cast away. The Lord is calling us to repentance. He's calling us to repentance. He's calling you unto himself. He's saying, come, come unto me. All you that labor, all you that are heavy laden, come unto me. Come unto me. Who is that person? What is that thing that is wanting to take the place of God in your life? You don't need anything. All you need is Jesus. All you need is Jesus. Cry unto him this morning and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm not talking about a sinner's prayer now. There are believers that need to reevaluate their lives. Like Isaiah had to reevaluate his life. The Bible says we must check ourselves whether we are still in the Lord, whether we are still in the faith. Why don't you talk to the Lord this morning? Say, Father, you know me. You know me. You know me. Jehovah, cleanse me. Purge me. Purge me. Purge me. Purge me. After he repented, the Lord sent an angel to cleanse him and to purge him. Remember Joshua the high priest in Zechariah chapter 3. He was wearing filthy garments. The Lord sent an angel to give him fresh new garments. But you must come to a point of repentance to start with. When the Lord speaks, I beseech you, brethren, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. For some people under the sound of my voice this afternoon, it is a boyfriend that has such a hold on you, or a girlfriend that has such a hold on you, and you will compromise your faith even though you know it is wrong. Why don't you repent today? Why don't you lay it at the feet of Jesus? Lay it to the feet of the cross. And come clean with the Lord today, that you may see Jesus. The Bible says the Greeks that came, they said, all we just want to see Jesus. We don't want to partake of your ceremony. We don't want to partake of your gallivanting. We just want to see Jesus. 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 I want us to lift up both hands to heaven and say, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Cleanse me. Cleanse me, mighty God. Cleanse me. Purge me, Jehovah. Purge me of every unrighteousness, of every sin. Cleanse me, mighty God. Cleanse me, King of glory. Le pradia ba shantalia radabakoro dobo shantalia. Oh, cleanse me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Cleanse me, Jehovah. Cleanse me, mighty, mighty, mighty God. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. You know, today is the last Sunday in the month of August. And our scripture of the month for August has been Isaiah 43, verse 19. Say, behold, I will do a new thing. Shall you not see it? Shall you not know it? He said, it shall spring forth. He says, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The Lord reminded me of another scripture, and he said, I already made the way. I already made the way, but many cannot see it because that way is a highway of holiness. Isaiah chapter 35, Isaiah 35 and verse 8. Isaiah 35 verse 8. And an highway shall be there, a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. God has made a way for you in that jungle that you seem to be in. In that situation that seems that there is no way out, there is a way for you out. But it's a way of holiness. No unclean person will pass over it. And that is why many are not seeing it. That's why you need to repent. I'm going to do this very quickly. I'm out of time. I just have, I'll do this in 3 minutes. You need prayer. You need prayer. Say, Father, you know, Pastor, there are one or two issues, Uzziah-like issues, and I want you to agree with me in prayer. Come very quickly. I'm going to close now. I'm not going to wait. I'm just going to close. If you want to come, come very quickly. Come very quickly. Usually people are waiting for somebody to come before they come. Come very quickly. Come very, very quickly. Come very, very quickly. Ye karadaba shantalia radaba. Ye brodo shantalia ragada. Ye karadaba korodogodo. If you're coming, you need to make up your mind. You need to make a decision. A decision to follow the Lord. A decision to do His will. His will, His will, His will all the way. All the way. To do His will all the way. You have to be willing to let go of Uzziah. Say, I let go of Uzziah in the name of Jesus. Le karodobo shantalia radaba. Ye koradaba shikata. Ye karadaba baba shikata. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for grace. Grace, oh God, even to overthrow every Uzziah in the life of your son, in the name of Jesus. May you see Jesus. May you see Jesus. May you see the Lord high and lifted up in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty God, I pray, even for your daughter, everything that is obstructing, every scale covering her eyes, preventing her from seeing you. Lord, as she repents, Lord, I decree and I declare, I pray, oh Lord, that they will fall off in the name of Jesus. The Lord sanctify you. The Lord cleanse you. The Lord make you whole in the mighty name of Jesus. Le prodandaria radabo shantalia. Ye pro je kata. Ye karadaba shegede gede. Ale prodandaria radabo. Ye karadaba shantalia ragada. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, you are the one that has called us. Lord, there is a purpose even for your son's life. My God and my Father, every hindrance in that purpose, Lord, I pull down in the name of Jesus. Receive strength, receive courage. Courage even to obey the Lord. Courage to walk for the Lord. Courage to stand for the truth. In the name of Jesus, receive it. Receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Le proda jantalia. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I pray for your daughter. Lord, arise, oh God. Arise, oh God, even for her help. In the name of Jesus. Everything in her life that is a hindrance, an obstacle to her working with you effectively and efficiently. My Father and my God, Lord, I pull them down. Every altar that has been built against you, I pull down. I pull down in the name of Jesus. I send the fire of the Holy Ghost even to consume. You are released. You are released. You are released even to the service of God. The Bible says, let my people go that they may worship me. The Lord will let you, the enemy will let you go that you may serve the Lord in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Father, we thank you. Jehovah, we give you praise. We give you glory. We worship you. We adore you. Lord, I commit your church into your hands, O God. Lord, you have called us to purity. Lord, you have called us to holiness. My God and my Father, in the name of Jesus, everything working against your purpose, Lord, I come against it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I release your church even into that way, the way of holiness, even the way in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, mighty God. We give you praise. We give you glory. For in Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen.
Praise.